The Bridge of Khazad-dûm is the most action-packed chapter I have ever read in my entire life. I read this chapter on a plane, and the woman next to me, who was reading smut on her Kindle, no shame, no shame, actually looked over to me to see if I was okay. When my jaw kept dropping and I kept taking sharp intakes of air because of how nuts this chapter was, she looked at me like I was a crazy person. But she wasn't reading what I was reading. This chapter was so good and so different from the book too. And this is just one of those essays where I have, like, you know, 10 little things to say about this chapter. And rather than make 10 different essays on it, I just want to touch on each one of them just a little bit. Some of the points are talking about the book to movie changes, and some are just points about, hey, this was so cool. So make sure you like the video and subscribe. I am reading through Lord of the Rings for the first time and writing my thoughts in the form of video essays for each chapter. So if you're into that sort of thing, please make sure you subscribe. Doesn't cost you anything to subscribe and would mean a lot. Also, you can support this channel by becoming a member, which will give you early access to videos, as well as some members-only content. Just that'll come when I'm done with the first book and moving on to the second. I also just really want to say thank you, and I appreciate all your comments and all the people who are watching these videos. I love reading through them and seeing where you all find corrections and where you gently nudged me to think through something different. You guys have been amazing, and I am pretty amazed at the support and love of the Lord of the Rings community thus far. So just wanted to say thank you. But let's get into this chapter. First off, I talked about this in yesterday's video, but the very fact that the Moria colony lasted for 5 years before orcs overtook them is astonishing to me. It makes me so curious what the plan was for the colony. And I kind of think that it was significantly underplanned. I feel like if people had just heard about the colony after the first year and their survival, dwarves might have come from all over to start, just to come back to their homeland. But the very fact that they also didn't shows how ingrained it is in the culture of Middle-earth to fear Moria. Its name is Black. And the lore runs deep through Middle-earth. But 5 years of a colony is incredible. The second thing I found interesting in this chapter is that the dwarves who went to Moria, we don't really know the number, but of them, there were three who were part of Bilbo's company, which is absolutely tragic. This little dead man who had the book in his hand is most likely Ori. But Oin also went for the recolonization. And Balin, of course, who became Lord of Moria. He held that title for 5 glorious years before he was shot in the back by an orc when he went to the Miramir by himself. Then the dwarves kind of just fell right after that. But there was a comment on yesterday's video that made me a bit emotional because they read The Hobbit when they were a kid. And the comment said something like how hard it was to see friends they had when they were a kid die like that in Moria when they were an adult, which is just how I'm starting to feel about some of these characters. Already in this book, I have these people and these characters that I am starting to love. Oh, it's such a good read. But the third thing I found interesting was that Gandalf's magic just doesn't seem to work. It does later on when he's fighting the Balrog. What? In his soft magic kind of persona, maybe it isn't that shocking to me, but I'm not even talking about his encounter with the Balrog of shutting the door. But he is almost laughed at when he appears to use magic by the orcs. The orcs almost pay no attention to his magic too, which is bizarre to me. It might not be magic at all, and it might just be Gandalf trying to intimidate them, but the book says, "Wait a moment, do not close it yet," said Gandalf. He sprang forward to Boromir's side and drew himself up to his full height. "Who comes hither to disturb the rest of Balin, Lord of Moria?" he cried in a loud voice. There was a rush of hoarse laughter, like the falling of sliding stones into a pit. Amid the clamor, a deep voice was raised in command.
"Doom, doom, doom,"
went the drums in the deep. With a quick movement, Gandalf stepped before the narrow opening of the door and thrust forward his staff. There was a dazzling flash that lit the chamber and the passage outside. For an instant, the wizard looked out. Arrows whined and whistled down the corridor as he sprang back. "There are orcs. Very many of them," he said. Now that I'm reading that passage again, actually, I'm changing what I'm thinking in mid-essay. That flash of light, I initially thought was like a spell that he was casting, and the orcs were just kind of like laughing at him, and they shot arrows, but maybe it was just to see what was there. Honestly, that's probably all it was for. So his magic is working. I completely take that back. So the third point is just completely nixed from this. We do these essays live as I'm thinking through them. Sorry about that. Anyway, the fourth thing that I loved was actually a comment on a prior video about Sam being rescued by a quick duck. It was maybe my favorite comment ever. But the book says, when 13 had fallen, the rest fled shrieking, leaving the defenders unharmed, except for Sam, who had a scratch along the scalp. A quick duck had saved him, and he had felled his orc, a sturdy thrust with his barrow blade. I cackled at that quick duck just coming in to save the day for Sam here. That is so hilarious to me. And I will never, ever read that passage in the same light now. But the fifth thing that I loved in this chapter is very different from the movies as well. But it's the scene when the cave troll comes in the movies and stabs Frodo with the trident spear thing. In the book, that is actually an orc chieftain. And I weirdly love that. I think the comparison would be like if you are fighting Shaquille O'Neal versus, like, I don't know, LeBron James. Shaquille O'Neal is massive and huge, and he's deadly and so intimidating. But LeBron, who has a bit more agility and a bit more motion, that might be a little scarier to me. But the book says he stood at nearly man height, the chieftain, and that he tossed Boromir aside with the ease, with a turn of his shield. And he attempts to skewer Frodo, which is so interesting that Frodo is kind of singled out here. How does this chieftain know Frodo is the main man here? But then Sam breaks the spear with the shaft, amazing Sam. And then Aragorn just comes out of nowhere like a flash and brings Anduril out on his head. That is pretty hardcore. And makes me appreciate and love Aragorn for his warrior mastery. But this is a terrifying moment in this chapter. And Aragorn is terrifying, and this chieftain is terrifying. Gosh, this was just a rip-roaring, such a good chapter. The sixth thing I loved is the attitude of Gimli. Look at this paragraph. Gimli took his arm and helped him down to a seat on the step. "What happened away up there at the door?" he asked. "Did you meet the beater of the drums?" Gimli has just had it confirmed to him that the colony and his fellow dwarves have died in Moria. He is devastated. He bows his head in sadness, but he still has his honor and his manners, and he still leads the group out of the mines with Gandalf. And when Gandalf is exhausted for what I will talk about in my next point, he helps him down. Just a true gentlemanly thing to do there. Love that dwarf. But the seventh thing and the reason that Gandalf is helped is because of this response. This was harrowing to me. So on their escape out of that room, Gandalf tries to shut the door with magic, but the book says, "I found myself suddenly faced by something that I have not met before. I could think of nothing to do but to try to put a shutting spell on the door. I know many, but to do things of that kind rightly requires time, and even then the door can be broken by strength. As I stood there, I could hear orc voices on the other side. At any moment, I thought, they would burst it open. I could not hear what was said. They seemed to be talking in their own hideous language. All I caught was, 'Gosh, that is fire.' Then something came into the chamber. I felt it through the door, and the orcs themselves were afraid and fell silent. It laid hold of the iron ring, and then perceived me and my spell. What it was, I cannot guess, but I have never felt such a challenge. The counter spell was terrible. It nearly broke me. For an instant, the door left my control and began to open. I had to speak words of a command. That proved too great a strain. The door burst in pieces. Something dark as a cloud was blocking out all light inside, and I was thrown backwards down the stairs. All the wall gave way, and the roof of the chamber as well, I think." This makes the Balrog so much more terrifying than the movie. Not only is this Balrog this force of nature, but the very fact that this thing can use magic and is using a counterspell that almost breaks and crushes Gandalf is insane. This thing's power is terrifying. And a lot of people were saying that Gandalf's presence and the ring's presence was kind of the thing that drove the Balrog out of hiding in order to attempt to find the company. But this paragraph was when my seatmate on the plane looked over at me to see if I was okay. The eighth thing I loved was that in the movie, I always wondered why there was this little skinny bridge that spanned over this massive chasm. There were no railings on this thing either, which, who's going across that on a daily basis? But in the books, I discovered that this was a great defensive strategy laid up by the dwarves. That if Moria was taken or they were attacked, they could go over the bridge and numbers wouldn't matter. They could fight one at a time and thus preserve the people of Moria for a significantly longer period of time, which is so cool. The ninth thing is the full confirmation of what we've been talking about in the other videos, that Gandalf does not know about the Balrog. In fact, none of the Fellowship, or very many people in Middle-earth at all, know about the Balrog being in Moria. They know about Durin's Bane, but they don't know it's a Balrog. So when Gandalf finally sees the Balrog, he is just super depressed. The book says, "It came to the edge of the fire, and the light faded as if a cloud had bent over it. Then with a rush, it leaped across the fissure. The flames roared up to greet it, and wreathed about it, and a black smoke swirled in the air. Its streaming mane kindled and blazed behind it. In its right hand was a blade like a stabbed tongue of fire. In its left, it held a whip of many thongs.
Aye, wailed Legolas. A Balrog has come.
Gimli stared with wide eyes.
Durin's Bane, he cried.
And letting his axe fall, he covered his face.
A Balrog, muttered Gandalf. Now I understand.
He faltered and leaned heavily on his staff.
What an evil fortune. And I am already weary.
Gandalf here is kind of comedic to me. He's like, oh, I'm just tired. I have to face this thing now. But he didn't know what he was going to face when he came into the mines. And he just had a very bad stroke of luck here. And the 10th thing was maybe the coolest paragraph, or two paragraphs, in this whole chapter. Boromir is having a rough chapter so far. He notches his blade when he attempts to hit the Trollfoot, and then he gets tossed aside by an orc chieftain. But in the hour of need, when the deepest, darkest enemy comes up, this is what the text says. The dark figure, streaming with fire, raced toward them. The orcs yelled and poured out over the stone gangways. Then Boromir raised his horn and blew. Loud the challenge rang and bellowed like the shouts of many throats under a cavernous roof. For a moment, the orcs quailed and the fiery shadow halted. Then the echoes died as suddenly as a flame blown out by a dark wind, and the enemy advanced again.
Over the bridge, cried Gandalf, recalling his strength. Fly, this foe is beyond any of you. I must hold the narrow way. Fly!
Aragorn and Boromir did not heed the command, but still held their ground, side by side, behind Gandalf at the far end of the bridge. The others halted, just within the doorway at the hall's end, and turned, unable to leave their leader to face the enemy alone. And then, a few paragraphs later,
"You cannot pass," he said.
With a bound, the Balrog leaped full upon the bridge. Its whip whirled and hissed.
"He cannot stand alone,"
cried Aragorn suddenly, and ran back along the bridge.
"Elendil," he shouted, "I am with you, Gandalf."
"Gondor," cried Boromir, and leaped after him. This is like Leroy Jenkins moment for Gondor here and for Boromir. I thought that was the best. And some of you threw a bit of shade and trash on Boromir in that video that I made about why I love him so much. And I know you guys know the full story and I don't quite know everything that happens yet, but I've got to say, how does anyone hate this man? Just at this point alone in the story, he is so fantastic. He's equally as brave as Aragorn. And yes, he might be a fool, but he is so courageous. He is standing with Aragorn and Gandalf against the Balrog of freaking Morgoth. And his horn blast stops it dead in its tracks. What a man. Goodness. But then the 11th thing that I noticed in this chapter, which is so fascinating, and I understand why they changed it in the movies, because it is so much more dramatic for the movie viewers in the movie. But the book description, I think, would be significantly more dramatic to the characters in the book. But when Gandalf says, "Fly, you fools," in the movie, he does so when he is grabbing the bridge. And I always thought he should have just pulled himself up there if he was grasping it. It always annoyed me a little bit. But it also kind of hinted that Gandalf needed to go finish that creature. But in the books, Gandalf gets the last little whip thrust that knocks him hard off the bridge. And it's not as if he is grabbing the stone and lets go, but as he's falling, he yells up to the groups with his final words, which are kind of actually comedic if you think about it. The book says, "With a terrible cry, the Balrog fell forward, and its shadow plunged down and vanished. But even as it fell, it swung its whip.
and the thongs lashed and curled about the wizard's knees, dragging him to the brink. He staggered and fell, grasped vainly at the stone, and slid into the abyss. "Fly, you fools!" he cried, and was gone. Terrifying, but also kind of funny that he gets the last word in and calls them fools here. The 12th thing, that was something I mentioned in the character study of the four characters before in a prior video, but Aragorn running out of the mines as a leader and there being a whole collection of orcs just waiting for them in ambush. And then they seem to scatter as they see Aragorn in his full anger, where he slays the chief of the company and the rest go running in terror of him, is the coolest thing ever. The book says, "There was a guard of orcs crouching in the shadows behind the great doorposts towering on either side. But the gates were shattered and cast down. Aragorn smote to the ground the captain that stood in his path, and the rest fled in the terror of his wrath. The company swept past them and took no heed of them. Out of the gates they ran and sprang down the huge age-worn steps, the threshold of Moria." That's incredible. And the final thing that was cool to me was just the last two paragraphs of this, for the very reason that this is the literal greatest ending to a TVA episode that I ever seen in my mind's eye, perhaps ever. Imagine if they made a TV series out of this and no one really knew much about the series or read the books at all, and then all of a sudden you see this scene unfold. Oh, imagine reading this without the films too and coming to the end of this chapter for the very first time. How devastating that must have been. And let me know. I think some of you have read this before the movies existed. How did you feel when this moment happened, when Gandalf fell? Was it something that was like he was just gone and you knew he was dead? Did you ever have hope that he was going to come back in the story? Oh my gosh, I would be so enthralled with this. But this is how this chapter ends. "They did not halt until they were at a bowshot from the walls. Dimrill Dale lay about them. The shadow of the misty mountains lay upon it. But eastward there was a golden light on the land. It was but 1 hour after noon. The sun was shining. The clouds were white and high. They looked back. Dark yawned the archway of the gates under the mountain shadow. Faint and far beneath the earth rolled the slow drum beats. Doom. A thin black smoke trailed out. Nothing else was to be seen. The dale all around was empty. Doom. Grief at last wholly overcame them. And they wept long, some standing and silent, some cast upon the ground. Doom. Doom. The drum beats faded." That is so unbelievably good. I have chills just reading that. But goodness gracious, I loved this chapter so much. So good, so action-packed. But I am very excited to talk about Lothlorien and get to the last few chapters of this book as well. So make sure you subscribe and like the video, and I'll see you in the next one.